progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Brett and Hunter on your Friday afternoon, the final Friday before Election Day. Just a few more days away, and again, we'll have coverage on AM 950 beginning election night at 7 o'clock with Matt McNeil. He'll be speaking with Jeff Stein, Cliff Schechter, and probably some other surprise guests as well. You and I are going to be hosting the, well, I shouldn't say the 9 o'clock hour, because it's probably going to go on a lot later than that, don't you think?
Yeah.
My guess kind of is during that first hour, we're probably going to get calls right away in the governor's race. The Klobuchar race is going to be called within like the first 20 seconds of when the polls close. I think Smith and Housley could get called fairly quickly as well. So we'll probably have an idea of where most of the statewide races are going to end up probably within that first hour. Probably have a good idea of how the state house is going to turn out during the 9 p.m. hour when lots of those metro districts report. There was a recent article put out by MinnPost listing the 15 most likely districts to flip there. 14 of the 15 are in the metro area, one's down in Mankato, and usually the metro districts report much quicker than a lot of the rural and the outstate districts, so we'll probably have a good idea of where the state house is going in the second hour. I'm guessing CD2 and CD3 probably will also be decided in the second hour during the 9 p.m. hour, although there's a chance if it gets lopsided enough, they might even call that in the first hour. I'm thinking it's looking pretty good for Angie Craig and Dean Phillips. How about you in there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The biggest question is, which one gets called first? I'm leaning towards CD2 getting called before CD3.
You think?
Really? Okay.
I disagree. I think Dean Phillips has a lot of momentum.
I agree with that, but I just think, not saying Eric Paulson is a strong candidate, but he's a better candidate than Jason Lewis. I just can't imagine how anyone's going to go for Jason Lewis again in 2018. I mean,
and that one was close last time.
Yeah, and the only reason he was, we're going to open up that third-party bag of worms again here, just like we did during the last hour, was because we had, I believe it was Paula Overby, the third-party candidate, who stole, I think, 3 or 4 percentage points probably away from Angie Craig, maybe even more than that. That probably ended up costing her the race. So we'll see how that turns out, but I'm guessing probably the second hour with the congressional districts. The ones that are likely to go late into the night in Minnesota, probably going to be CD1, especially CD8. That's the southern district in southern Minnesota district. That's CD1, CD8, of course, northern Minnesota. Then the state AG race, probably also going to go late into the night, although who knows, as we do have some recent polling data you ended up finding earlier this afternoon, and it's good news, but that one I think could go late into the night as well if it ends up close. So that's the reason why you're probably going to be having us on air 11 o'clock hour, maybe even towards midnight. Of course, also got to decide those U.S. Senate races with Nevada and Arizona not wrapping up till late into the evening. That might decide who controls the Senate coming up next year as well. So lots of election night coverage. Watch it on Facebook. We'll also stream it on Twitter. You can listen online on the TuneIn app. Or, of course, just listen the old school way, the way radio is meant to be. Just pull up your old radio. If you're driving around, listen that way as well. Lots of ways you can watch your election coverage. It's local coverage as well. We'll still talk about the national races, but we're mainly going to be focused on Minnesota races. It's not going to be like what you see on TV, where you see those quick cut-ins for like 1 minute that you see sometimes on like 4, 5, 9, and 11, where they pretty much focus on the national races. Then they'll give them like, the networks will give the local people like maybe 1 minute, an hour, where they can talk about the local races. Yeah. That's not going to be the case here. It's going to be pretty much all local. We'll still, again, mention the national results, but mainly focusing on the local races here on election night, so make sure you tune in for that.
And it's good if you go out to a campaign party, like election viewing party, and that wraps up quick. Listen to us on your way
home.
Listen
to us, yeah. Wouldn't mind hearing from you as well if you're at an election night party. We'll still be taking calls during that entire night, because I think especially once we hit the 11 o'clock hour or midnight, we're probably going to be dragging. We're going to be tired. I have no idea what we're going to be talking about at that point. It could be just us rambling around and not really knowing what we're talking about, since we will have been up for like 18 hours at that point. So we do welcome your calls on election night as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I want to hear what you're excited about on election night, takes on the blue wave.
Which hopefully will happen. Indeed. So got some new polling data that you brought up to my attention earlier today, and that is in the AG race. where KSTP Survey USA has some good news for Keith Ellison. He leads Doug Wardlow, his Republican opponent, by a margin of 44% to 40%, so leads by 4 percentage points. Although 12% of voters are still undecided, the margin of error, kind of hefty on this one, 5.3%. Normally that margin of error is around 3 or 4%, so Wardlow still within the margin of error, and that also does fly in the face of that Star Tribune poll from a few weeks ago, which showed Wardlow with, I believe, a 7-point lead. Although I've said this before a few other times on the show, never trust the Star Tribune poll. It's always wrong. That is one thing you can count on. The election season is usually the Star Tribune not only being wrong on polls, but being widely wrong. And it's been not just in favor of Democrats, it's also favored Republicans as well. So I don't know. Even though it's KSTP, usually kind of a right-wing network, their polls seem to be at least a little bit more accurate than the Star Tribune's, although sometimes they do lean a little bit more towards the right when they do their polling. Looking deeper at the numbers, good news in terms of the gender gap for Keith Ellison, bad news for Doug Wardlow. We have 53% of women saying they are going to vote for Keith Ellison during this election cycle, while the men are going to vote for, I just lost the number here, Wardlow only gets 31% of women in the new poll, so not good news there. 69% of his support is coming from men, so despite the allegations against Keith Ellison, he's still picking up a pretty healthy margin of women that are supporting him. And basically, one of the University of Minnesota political scientists who kind of took a look at this survey, I believe it was Catherine Pearson, said this is mainly because Democrats are starting to come home to Keith Ellison with these numbers, which I kind of buy because I think a lot of Democrats, we've been talking about it here on the station, are kind of terrified of what Doug Wardlow represents. He, of course, has his history with the Alliance for Defending Freedom. He has, what else does he have? He said there's two constitutions, one that's the real constitution, another pseudo-constitution that has to do with Christianity. Then, of course, here during the Matt McNeil show, earlier in October, we had the call from Ryan Durant, who said that Doug Wardlow bullied him when he was in high school and actually made light of an attempted suicide that fortunately didn't work out, but Wardlow basically made fun of that attempt. Those allegations were brought up on, I believe, the October 12th version of the Matt McNeil show. And now that's been getting more play in other media outlets, including the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press. So lots of Democrats, it seems like, are coming home and realizing that even if Keith Ellison isn't your favorite candidate, whether it's because of the allegations, or I know there are a lot of Democrats that are lean more centrist and think Keith Ellison is too far to the left of them, they kind of realize that Doug Wardlow is Michelle Bachmann on steroids. I would say in some ways he might even be to the right of Michelle Bachmann. Would you agree with that?
Maybe. It's hard to get a read on him because he barely ever says his stances, but I do know that he is far right. But that's the only reason I can't compare him is because Wardlow does such a good job of hiding with his apolitical claims.
Well, I'm just looking at that history of saying there's two constitutions working for the Alliance for Defending Freedom. I mean, it's tough to decide who's further to the right, Michelle Bachmann or Doug Wardlow, but I think you could easily say that Doug Wardlow would basically just be another Michelle Bachmann if he were elected.
He's definitely the Trump faction of the party. He's their guy. Very Trumpian.
And I would still contend he would not even be the Republican candidate if they knew that Lori Swanson wasn't running this year, because I think he was originally set up there just as a sacrificial lamb, just to say they had a Republican running.
Well, because he doesn't really have any history. He was a one-term state legislator.
Mm-hmm. So. He was elected to one term in Eagan, didn't really do a whole lot. In fact, I think he was defeated during his next election cycle. But he does have a chance to be the next AG, so make sure you get out and vote on Tuesday. Had another interesting tweet. This one's from Peter Callahan of MinPost, who was tweeting about the Wardlow versus Ellison race. Not really talking about any of the partisan positions, but more about how both of them relate to the media and interact with the media, and contrasting the two styles of Ellison and Wardlow. This is the tweet from Peter Callahan. Again, he's from MinPost. He says, quote, "There is an important difference in the barrage of press conferences that Keith Ellison and Doug Wardlow are sponsoring in Minnesota's attorney general race. Ellison is attending and taking all questions. Wardlow is absent." So find that kind of interesting, that Keith Ellison despite all the controversy surrounding him, generally at press conference, he's sitting around taking questions from the press, talking to the press. For Doug Wardlow, it's been the exact opposite. That's according to a tweet from Peter Callahan of MinPost. So found that interesting and kind of backs up your claim, Hunter, that Wardlow's trying his best to really be a candidate that represents nothing. He's trying to be very vanilla. I'm the nonpartisan candidate. And who knows if that's working out? I think he is fooling some people because I still have some friends that say, well, I don't know if I want to vote for Ellison because of these allegations. I don't know if that necessarily means they're going to vote for Doug Wardlow, but I could see how Wardlow's trying to position himself as kind of being a nothing guy to pick off some of those voters.
Well, yeah, because he wouldn't win in Minnesota. He doesn't represent Minnesota well. Just he is, like you said, very far to the right and has extreme views for Minnesotans. So that's his only hope is to hide.
952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Also comment on our Facebook feed. Email comment at am950radio.com. We eventually got to get a text number here at the station, I think. A lot of stations do that, so we'll have to see if we can develop that in the future so we can get more ways that you can communicate with us here on AM950. Have a couple of phone calls on the line we'll get to in just one moment. But again, looking at that latest poll, it's Keith Ellison with a 4-point lead over Doug Wardlow, 44-40. That was conducted October 29th through October 31st. So good news for the Ellison campaign, but still within that margin of error. Have some phone calls on the line. Let's go ahead and get to our first one. We have Vern in Roseville. He wants to talk about Doug Wardlow and I believe the police endorsement he received. Vern, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. I was just going to point out those recent Wardlow ads have the Police Federation of Minneapolis endorsement. And, you know, of course, the same guy that went to Fox News in New York, Bob Kroll, or whatever his name is, that was complaining about the people's rights being posted in the back of the squad cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that guy. So, I mean, that's how they've also got the police trotting out for their endorsements for Wardlow.
Yeah, he does certainly have that as well. Hey, Vern, thanks so much for the call. Definitely appreciate it. Let's move along to our good buddy Randy in Coon Rapids. Hey, Randy, what's up?
Hey, guys, I just had a weird thought. You know, I watched the interview with Keith Ellison's ex-girlfriend, and she said she has a video, and she'll release this video when it works for her, when she's mentally ready to release this video. And I just thought to myself, I wonder if she does have this video. I mean, who knows if she doesn't. And I can't stand Keith Ellison, but I would still side with Keith Ellison because I'm not into accusations. You need to have some proof. And right now there's no proof Keith Ellison did anything. So my thought was she's waiting. And if all of a sudden Keith Ellison gets ahead of Wardlow in these, that video is going to come out. Well, now the polls are out and Keith Ellison is slightly ahead. You watch this by this weekend. I bet by Monday, if there's a video, we're going to see something pop out.
You know
Yeah, and would that be fine if it did? If there is an actual video and he did do something, we should know about it. And if he didn't do anything, she shouldn't be out there making accusations unless you have proof. That's kind of the way it works here in the United States of America. You got to prove that somebody did something bad. You can't just say something and then expect everyone to believe it.
So, Randy, I will give you some credit there because a lot of times we disagree on the issues, but sometimes when I talk to people who I disagree with, it's more about finding not necessarily agreement on issues, but kind of clarifying what our beliefs are, and you at least are consistent on your belief and, you know, not necessarily on one hand being different with your allegations with Brett Kavanaugh versus Keith Ellison. You're at least consistent on that, so do want to give you some credit there. But you do bring up an interesting point about that video being released close to election time that would kind of line up with the timeline of when these allegations were originally made, which I believe was just a few days before the primary. So that's an interesting angle. So we'll have to watch that over the weekend or maybe even Monday or Tuesday if something does get released from Monahan. Again, just speculation, though. I have no idea what's going to happen, but it is something that could watch. Hey, Randy, thanks so much for the call. Definitely appreciate that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you have thoughts, give us a call here on AM 950. We'll be back, and coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about PolyMet and how it's been well, taking a different angle with Mark Dayton and also Jeff Johnson and Tim Walz, who are also candidates for governor. That's next on AM 950.
Don't wait. Get Black Friday appliance savings now from Warner Stellion. Get the same great deal and be ready for the holidays. At Warner Stellion, we guarantee our Black Friday prices so you can buy now with confidence. Laundry pairs, dishwashers, refrigerators, entire kitchen suites, priced with unbeatable Black Friday discounts. Plus, you can trust our specialists to deliver and install your new appliances without worry. So why wait? Get Black Friday appliance savings while they last. From Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
Hello, humans! It's Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many know that I have a diversity and inclusion company, Human Inspiration Works LLC. I want to share about a speaking event I'll be hosting on Monday, November 5th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Open Book in Minneapolis. I'll be giving my gray area thinking talk on how to be welcoming to humans. I'd love for you to join me. Go to elliekrug.com and look for the Human is Human public events page for more. Please come and please tell others. See you then!
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop. OP.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on the Zero Hour, a lot of politics. John Nichols on Democratic races, Malaika Jabali on working class black voters, Greg Sargent on an uncivil time in politics, and Max Blumenthal on Saudi power and American elites. All this and more on the Zero Hour, every Sunday night from 9 till midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Brett and Hunter on your Friday afternoon. Give us a ring. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Hang tight. If you're on hold, I'll get to you in just a few minutes. But first, I want to talk about PolyMet. There was a ruling yesterday from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, which was one step more towards PolyMet being able to build their mine in northern Minnesota. So the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources said Thursday it has issued permits for PolyMet Mining's proposed copper-nickel mine in northeastern Minnesota, which is a huge step forward for the controversial project. Star Tribune says the DNR has issued the permit to mine 6 water appropriation permits, 2 dam safety permits, a public waters work permit, and an endangered species takings permit. And the project will still need water and air quality permits from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and a wetlands permit from the Army Corps of Engineers, but it is, unfortunately, another step towards the PolyMet mine possibly getting built. Now, both Jeff Johnson and Tim Walz put out statements regarding the PolyMet mine. So Jeff Johnson's is pretty much what you expect. He is, of course, the Republican candidate for governor. He says, quote, "While I'm pleased with today's decision to move forward with a PolyMet mining proposal, it took way too long and cost way too much much money because a political agenda got in the way of the process. The Johnson-Bergstrom administration will permit at the speed of business, not the speed of government. The Walz-Flanagan administration will be more likely to attend a protest rally than a ribbon cutting for the next big Minnesota project. So no surprise there that Jeff Johnson would come out massively in favor of that PolyMet ruling. But Tim Walz is kind of the guy to watch because he's generally kind of been against the PolyMet mine, but I know a lot of people kind of question his credentials when it comes to the environment. So here is Tim Walz's statement. He says, quote, "Minnesotans care deeply about keeping our lands and waters pristine, and they also care about providing good jobs and wages to put people in all parts of the state. This project has gone through over 10 years of environmental review, and we know that additional state and preparatory work needs to be done before any mining will occur. I agree with Governor Dayton that if the project meets or exceeds all environmental standards and has strong financial assurances in place, it should be permitted." So kind of taking that middle of the road stance, at least in my opinion, you can call if you disagree with me, where I'd like to see a little bit stronger language against this PolyMet mining, because I'm still very concerned that PolyMet is basically owned by this company called Glencore. It's an international company that has mines all sorts all over the world, and they've had all sorts of issues with oil spills, not cleaning up after themselves. So I would maybe be okay with PolyMet if they were to put in some sort of language where if there is a spill on this mine, it actually has to be Glencore that cleans this up. Because sometimes what you see with these mines is that, well, once you have a mining accident, all of a sudden the mining company, oh, goes out of business. And the public is left on the hook. So I think you need to set something up where it's the parent company that has to be on the hook if something goes wrong. And right now, I'm not sure if that language is really in there right now. So if there was something in there that would guarantee that the parent company, which in this case would be Glencore, would be held responsible if there's any incidents, maybe I could be okay with it. But I'm just afraid if we have any sort of spill on that proposed copper nickel mine, PolyMet will all of a sudden magically vanish and say, oh, we have no more money, we're bankrupt. Now the public's on the hold for cleaning this up. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And finally, one more thing in terms of the environment. Found this kind of interesting. Aaron Klems, Director of Public Engagement at the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, tweeted this out. He said, "Five governors commit to maintaining the standards of the Clean Air and Clean Water Act under cooperative federalism, regardless of what happens in D.C. Why isn't Minnesota joining them? Because five governors signed this, all Democrats, but Minnesota's Mark Dayton was not among them. It was signed by Kate Brown of Oregon, John Hickenlooper of Colorado, possibly 2020 candidate for president, also by David Icke of Hawaii, Jay Inslee of Washington, and also Governor Brown from California, but not Mark Dayton. And I know some people haven't been thrilled about Mark Dayton when it comes to the environment. Unfortunately, didn't sign with that pact to support the Clean Air and Clean Water Act, despite what happens in Washington. So hopefully if Walz gets elected, he'll be a little bit more active on that issue. And of course, we'll have to pressure him as well. Wow, we got full phone lines. We better go ahead and run these. Let's go to Gary in Minneapolis. Gary, what's on your mind today?
Well, yeah, I want to talk about, you know, the Republicans are masters of dirty politics. You know, in fact, Harry Truman said they don't campaign on issues. They hold the flag up and they talk about how great the country is, that you got it made and all that. That was many years ago. You know, Nixon, he painted, the commie scare, he painted the House seat that he won. That's the first one with the red paintbrush, the commie scare, and won that. And they did the Senate with Helen Kirk Douglas, established senator. So they always painted liberals as soft on communists like that. And then Joe McCarthy did a lot of dirty work there, and Ike didn't put a stop to it until McCarthy went completely off his rocker and called Ike a communist. So they're still doing all this dirty politics. I wish they'd be held more accountable to what they're saying. The media doesn't really say even handed what the Democrats answer to all these lies that Trump is saying. And that's about all I'm going to say. Oh, one other thing. These accusations about, you gotta leave these accusations of sexual misconduct because they went after Robert Mueller. They paid, the reporter exposed a plot by a Republican operative that he had sexual harassment or something in his past. It was all a plot by the right wing.
Yeah, I heard about that too. Norman Coleman's talked extensively about that on his show, I believe, yesterday. Yeah, how basically there's some right-wing operatives that were trying to pay women to make fake allegations against Robert Mueller. Unbelievable that they would be doing this. It's kind of ironic, too, that so often you hear people on the right saying how concerned they are about fake rape allegations when it's them that's actually making up fake rape allegations. Don't you find that kind of funny, Hunter, that it's them complaining about fake rape allegations, then they make them up themselves?
Yeah, it's typical behavior from them.
Yeah, exactly. Just like with voter fraud as well, where Republicans complain there's all sorts of voter fraud. Then when it turns out there is voter fraud, it's actually Republicans trying to prove a point. Mm-hmm. James O'Keefe, one of those people who's very guilty of doing that. Let's keep going with the phone calls. We got Philip in Mendota Heights. He wants to talk about PolyMet.
Yes, do you remember the big court case in 1975?
Refresh my mind on that. I'm not familiar with that. Can you fill me in?
This is the drinking water in Duluth that was full of asbestos-like fibers because Reserve Mining, which is now North Shore Mining Facility, was mining ore and processing it. And when they grind it up, they have all these little fibers. Guess what rock bed PolyMet is mining it, wants to mine in?
So that's PolyMet.
The one that Reserve was mining in.
Yeah, it's... Hey,
thanks. With the asbestos-like fibers.
Well, thanks very much, Philip. Yeah, I guess that's the way it goes sometimes, and unfortunately, I'll have to do more research into that, but sure, it's true, and it's kind of depressing as well to think about. Hey, we got Julie in Minneapolis. She wants to talk about the cost of PolyMet. Hi there, Julie.
Yeah, two quick questions, one on PolyMet and one on the Hennepin County Governor's race. You know, I agree completely with you on the PolyMet. I think it would have been smarter if we had framed this in terms of cost to the taxpayer, because as you know, there's all these oopsie laws. And so as it stands now, from what I understand, the taxpayers are going to get stuck 10 years from now, 50 years from now, 70 years from now, when there is an inevitable spill. And, you know, used to hear about the Republicans all the time. They had this taxpayers league. Well, you know what? Of course, they haven't come forward on this. So just to say that it's jobs versus the environment, I haven't seen anything in the paper about the cost to taxpayers. The other thing I wanted to say was on Hennepin County attorney's race, I've decided I'm going to vote for Mr. Haas. I heard a debate, or I heard both candidates speak this afternoon. And I hope I can be honest on the radio, but I was shocked at the arrogance and the defensiveness of Mr. Freeman. And Mr. Haas is DFL endorsed, and it seems obvious to me that he's interested in putting a priority on sexual violence crimes rather than petty drug offenses and so forth. And Freeman has kind of admitted that he was unaware of some of the problems. And he's been, you know, Hennepin County Attorney for 19 years, so... Thanks for letting me talk.
All right. Thanks very much, Julie. I want to go back to what you said about PolyMet. I think that is an interesting way to frame the argument, because so often people frame the PolyMet debate as being environmentalists versus jobs. And I think the financial aspect could be another way to change people's minds, because the mine is going to spill. It's pretty much happened every time Glencore, again, the parent company of PolyMet, has set up one of these mines around the world. It pretty much has a spill every single time. And generally, their subsidiary company always magically goes out of business whenever there's a spill. So if we put language in there again that would make Glencore responsible if the mine does in fact spill, I would be okay with it. And actually, if they were to put that language in, I'm guessing they wouldn't even want to build that PolyMet mine. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Got a few more phone calls on the line as well. Also coming up later on the show, I want to talk about, here's a little controversial statement, why I think Nancy Pelosi should remain the leader of the Democratic House. Not necessarily because I like the way Nancy Pelosi does politics, or I even like the way that she campaigns with different Democrats. I have some different thoughts on why I think she actually should remain the leader. That's on the way next on AM 950, right after Art Beat for the Week.
This is Art Beat for the Week. I'm Elizabeth Horub, co-host of Connections Radio. Today I'll be letting you in on a few awesome arts events in the area this weekend.
Casket Arts presents Open Casket, their premier open studio event of the year. Join them for a weekend of art, music, food, and drink as their talented tenant artists open their studios to show and sell their amazing work. You'll find paintings, prints, jewelry, sculpture, textiles, ceramics, photography, woodworking, furniture, and more. Take in some art and maybe take some home with you too. There will also be live music on the fourth floor, food trucks outside, and guest artists lining the hallways. The Open Casket Studio Art Show is going to be happening all weekend, starting tonight at 5 p.m. through Sunday at 5 p.m. Free to attend and family-friendly. Go to www.casketarts.com for more information. If you're more in the mood for some late-night fun, get yourself out to Club Underground in Northeast to see the greatest comedy show ever, November edition. One of the Midwest's longest-running stand-up comedy showcases occurring the first Saturday of every month, hosted by Nick Piontek. The doors open at 9 p.m. The show starts at 10 p.m. $5 cover this Saturday. Grab a friend and hit it up. And get onto Facebook and look up The Greatest Comedy Show Ever for more information. Opening this weekend is Sandbox Theater's Words Do Move. We speak, we stay silent, we fight, we hide, we listen, we shut down. How do our words move us? Are we only moved further apart, or can we be moved to take better care of each other? Words Do Move is a collection of episodes woven together with storytelling, movement, and song, bringing together musicians, poets, actors, and writers into Sandbox's collaborative ensemble creation process, generating genuine, honest moments born from the breadth of their personal experience. Words Do Move runs this weekend through November 17th. Go to sandboxtheateronline.com to reserve your tickets and for more information. That's Art Beat for the week. I am Elizabeth Horub, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Hey, tune into the Norman Goldman Show, where justice is served live every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Today on the show, it's Friday, of course, but it's a very special Friday because it's the last full weekend before the upcoming congressional elections. The numbers look good for the Democrats. We've been here before. Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here. From 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. Saturday, chance of showers, high near 45. And Sunday, rainy with a high near 42. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Nightingale. The menu is comprised of snacks, bruschettas, and small plates designed for sharing, but is sure to satisfy your appetite. They offer something for everyone. Located at 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis. Find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Grips on your ways, front way, back way. You know that I don't play. Street's not safe, but I never run away.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Got some comments on Facebook, like to read back to you. Lisa Gross is watching on Facebook. She says, Mr. Haas, this is referring to the person, the DFL-endorsed candidate who is running for Hennepin County Attorney. She says, Mr. Haas was my daughter's teacher at Borough School when she was young. He is a great guy, and I, too, along with my daughter and sons, will be voting for him with pride. Also, hello to the Johnsons and the Trasinos. They are watching the show on a cruise ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. How about that? Watching on a cruise ship. Kind of nice to get that type of weather in the middle of Atlantic compared to our weather in the 40s here in Minnesota. Also have another comment. This is on our post that we made earlier today about that poll showing Keith Ellison leading Doug Wardlow, and someone that I think brought up an important thing to remember about this, despite the fact that we're happy about the poll. He says, don't let KSTP make you complacent. This is from Jeremy. He says, make sure you do everything you can between now and Tuesday to make sure Wardlow does not become our next attorney general. He says, tell all your friends and family to get out and vote and why it's important someone like Wardlow does not win this race. So thanks, everyone, for watching on Facebook and interacting with us. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. You had some thoughts on that too, Hunter?
No.
I saw you talking over there, but your mic wasn't going. Okay.
Oh.
I'm not a lip reader, so I couldn't tell. Anyways, though, let's go to someone who can talk. That's Mark in Freely. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hi, guys. First, I want to acknowledge the death of Amal Hussein, the 7-year-old girl in Yemen whose picture was posted across the world, who died of starvation. You know, and again, just because we need to keep that in our thought. If we want a blue wave, we've got to stop wars and go for peace. Now, they're talking about sulfide mining. Anybody, and I mean anybody, who's telling you that this can be done safely is lying to you.
Yeah, it spills every single time they've had one of these mines by Glencore.
There's been peer-reviewed, independent, public scientific research, and the scientific evaluations have stated that sulfide copper mining cannot be done without polluting nearby waters. And, you know, if this is the legacy as a politician or a lobbyist or, you know, a state employee, you want to leave your children, that you're going to knowingly tell the people that toxic waste and mine waste and the decimation of their boundary waters is not going to be a problem. If that's the legacy you want to have for yourself, then, you know, screw it. I'm not Hennepin County, but again, everybody that's advocating for Haas over Freeman is doing a great thing. You know, and as far as a blue wave, man, you know, if you want a blue wave, it's got to be a progressive blue wave, and we got to have that happen. Now, I have a long-established relationship with Keith Ellison, but I will say this. Doug Wardlow cannot get that gig. When you come in and state that the first thing you're going to do is eliminate the jobs of 42 people because they don't agree with your politics, there's a thing in the Constitution called freedom of association. So if Doug Wardlow tries to pull that stunt, the first thing that the people of Minnesota should do is rise up and demand that he be held accountable for violation of the Constitution.
I agree with you, Mark. Hey, and thanks so much for the call. And that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to be the bright, shining star for the Republican Party of Minnesota if he is elected Attorney General, because Republicans have not had a lot of statewide success in this state. They have not won a statewide election since 2006. They're desperate to get a high-profile person. And Doug Wardlow would certainly fit that bill. He would most likely sue just about everything that a DFL-controlled legislator and governor would try to pass to try to raise his profile. And I think you'd probably be looking at him as a 2022 gubernatorial candidate, because his stock is going to skyrocket if he can say he's an attorney general that's a Republican in a blue state. So definitely important, and some good thoughts there, Mark. So I want to switch gears and talk about something I teased a little bit on Wednesday, and it's something that I know some of our listeners are not going to necessarily agree with, but I think Nancy Pelosi should remain the leader of the House Democratic Party, especially if the blue wave does happen and we take the majority in the House. A couple of reasons why. Is that, well, first up, Nancy Pelosi probably not going to be around much longer in terms of her political career. She's already said she's likely not going to, well, do it for the next few years, probably 2020 or 2022 she's going to step down. And the reason why I think we should leave her in is that I think we need to give Republicans kind of this false target that they can follow. We saw what they did with Hillary Clinton for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden when Hillary Clinton ran for president, they were able to kind of cash that check and use all of that negative campaigning against her and really give people negative thoughts about Hillary Clinton. So my thoughts are, in fact, well, going back to that for just one second, Republicans are even still talking about Hillary Clinton without much effect because she's not relevant. A lot of people don't really buy that. If some Republican says, well, this Democrat running for office is going to be like Hillary Clinton, I think a lot of people sit there and say, Hillary Clinton's not relevant in the political situation anymore. She's not running for office and she's not going to again. So I say, why not do that same sort of idea with Nancy Pelosi, where we can let Republicans go after her for the next 2 to 4 years when Donald Trump is going to be in office and we really can't pass anything anyways, because then by the time when Democrats possibly do have full control of the federal government, Nancy Pelosi is going to be out of power and they will have targeted someone that is politically irrelevant. That's at least my thoughts. I kind of like the idea of giving Republicans that false target. I don't know, Hunter, if you agree with that at all or if you think we just need to move completely in a progressive direction, because I don't agree with Nancy Pelosi, first off. I don't like the way she campaigns and how she wants Democrats completely relying on fundraising and the fact that she comes down as kind of a moderate on some issues. It's more about, from a strategic perspective, that I'd rather have her stay in power.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way, but because we're not going to be able to pass any major legislation for 2 years. So
yeah, at least 2 years, hopefully only 2 years, but that's at least my thoughts on that. If you disagree, feel free to call me, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, because Republicans already campaign against her. I mean, all you need to do is listen to some of these ads against Dean Phillips saying, well, he supports Nancy Pelosi. Or I've also have some friends in Iowa. I also used to work at a radio station in Iowa, so I've been hearing some of these ads with what's the guy's name down there? David Young. He's the Republican congressman running against his Democratic opponent. And it's kind of funny to hear the ads because every time they say Nancy Pelosi's name, they always say, like, Nancy Pelosi. So they're already campaigning against her. And I kind of like the idea of making her a false target that Republicans will go after. And then all of a sudden come 2020 or 2022, she's not going to be in politics anymore. And Republicans will have spent a bunch of political capital against someone that's not really relevant anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Yeah, because we're not going to be able to pass anything for the next 2 years. I mean, whether we like it or not, a Republican is going to be in the White House, whether it's Donald Trump or Mike Pence. One of those two guys is going to be in office. So, I don't know. I kind of like the idea of making Republicans, well, take an analogy here. I don't know if you had one of those laser pointers when you were a kid that you'd have like a dog or a cat chase around.
Yeah.
You ever have one of those things? That's kind of the analogy I'd use, where you just use a laser pointer and have Republicans chase around this target, and then all of a sudden she's gone, and they will have spent political capital on nothing. So there you go. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Going to take another break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about daylight savings time. That, of course, is happening between this Saturday and this Sunday. But did you know it's actually a pretty big issue in California? They actually have this on the ballot, and it's gotten kind of heated in that state. We'll talk about that up next on AM 950.
Native Earth Radio is proud to announce we're adding an extra hour.
1 hour's too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
Great. More time for me to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national native news with reporters all around the country. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and streaming live on Facebook.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Be sure to pick up your copy of this month's Natural Awakenings magazine, a free local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely, local, national, and global stories. Learn about alternative and complementary medicine, nutrition, fitness for body and mind, personal growth, sustainability, and much more. Natural Awakenings can be found at area health food stores, food co-ops, and retail locations. More information is available at naturaltwincities.com. That's naturaltwincities.com.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Imagine a world where no one ever went hungry, where you didn't have to choose between clean air and clean water, and where bitter, drunken comedians didn't have to work in small, dark clubs to tell you how severely screwed up everything is. If that kind of world scares you the way it scares us, then we can help. We're StandUpRecords.com. We offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, and merchandise from the best stand-up comedians on Earth. So please give generously, and remember, together we can't save the world. Yeah, no, we can't. So you may as well just buy something funny. That's StandUpRecords.com.
I'm John Peterson of Ferndale Market, and I'm the third generation to grow turkeys on our family farm in Cannon Falls. We've grown them the same way since 1939, free range and without antibiotics. We're proud of the way our turkey tastes naturally, so we don't add a thing, just 100% pure turkey. Reserve your free range Thanksgiving turkey today for pickup at our store right on the farm in scenic Cannon Falls or at one of our metro retail partners. Visit us at ferndalemarket.com for more information or to reserve your turkey today.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Don't forget to set your clocks back this weekend. Between Saturday and Sunday during the overnight hours, we have daylight savings time where we fall back and gain that extra hour of sleep as we move back into standard time. But that issue is actually on the ballot in California, where they want to make daylight savings time permanent in that state. So it's almost time to turn back the clocks 1 hour. This is from an article in the LA Times to mark the end of daylight savings time. But some Californians think it's time for a change. Proposition 7 on Tuesday's ballot would allow the state legislature to pass year-round daylight savings time with a two-thirds vote and permission from the federal government. That would mean no more falling back and no more springing forward. Supporters say this practice is outdated and that certain studies show an increased risk of heart attack and stroke in the days following a time change. Really? There's an increased risk of heart attack for daylight savings time? I mean, come on. But I guess that's true. Because of disrupted sleep patterns, I would think you'd have less of a risk when you switch from daylights to standard time because you're gaining that extra hour of sleep.
Yeah.
Maybe in the spring I could buy that, but I don't know. I'll take the word of the LA Times. They also say changing our clocks twice a year leads to hundreds of millions spent on unnecessary electricity and fuel costs. While those who oppose year-round daylight savings time say there will be more people that will make that will make the morning commute to work or school in the darkness during the wintertime, which they say would be kind of depressing and could lead to more traffic accidents. More importantly, they also say it would make California out of sync with neighboring states. So, I don't know. Do you have strong feelings on daylight savings time, Hunter, in the booth?
I would rather have whatever gave us more sunlight in the winter because I hate
that
when you... Like, you go to work, it's dark. You work all day, then you're off, and it's dark. So if it improved that a little bit, I would be for it. But that's the main thing I dislike the most.
Yeah, the way they want to change it is to daylight savings times, which is the current time zone we're in right now. We're switching to standard time on Sunday. I kind of agree with you because you and I help out hosting the 4 p.m. hour. And come December, it's going to get dark during our show. In fact, when we leave the station, I think it's going to be pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
So I could kind of buy that because we would, in theory, then at least get some light during the 5 p.m. hour. Although, wouldn't it be kind of weird, though, to in the morning to have the sun not rise until like 8:30 or 9 o'clock, because I believe that's what would happen if we switched to daylight time.
I'd be more for that.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, too. I'd rather have the darkness in the morning than in the evening.
Yeah, because I'm more awake then. Mm-hmm. I'm doing things. I'm out in the world.
Yeah.
I'm just at home usually then. I'd prefer the later sunlight.
Yeah. So I just found that interesting that they're actually going to vote on that in California among a whole bunch of other ballot measures. They have like 20 or so ballot measures in that state. Here in Minnesota, I don't believe we have any ballot measures. I think the last time we had any of those was back in 2012 when we voted on the marriage amendment and the voter ID amendment, where thankfully we voted both of those down. But California's got like 20 or 30 of those things. So you got to do your homework if you live in that state if you're going to vote. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's go to Susan in Minneapolis. She wants to go back to that mining topic we were talking about a few minutes ago. Hi, Susan. What's on your mind?
Hi there. I just wanted to encourage you not to be middle of the road when it comes to the mining. To me, when I heard you say that, it broke my heart a little bit. I'd like to think that you guys are progressive.
Hey, Susan, just one second.
When they go in and do this mining, they basically destroy everything. And there's all kinds of poisonous byproduct that gets into the streams. So when you, you know, when you're middle of the road, you're kind of saying it's okay that the birds, the fish, and the and all the animals and the plants and everything.
Hey, Susan, for one second, I got to interrupt you here. Let's pod down. Susan, I think you're kind of misstating what we were saying, and maybe we didn't necessarily communicate it effectively, but my idea is, I certainly agree with you on those issues. I think it would be more effective to get people to change that mind, their mind on that issue, if we were to talk about the financial aspect and the cost of cleaning it up, because I certainly agree with you. Yeah, I mean, the environmental cost in terms of, yeah, killing all sorts of animals, polluting our lakes is going to be huge, but I think you're going to get other people on board on this issue if we also highlight the economic impact as well. But definitely agree with you there, Susan.
Well, thank you for clarifying
yeah,
that
definitely.
Because I was just feeling sick when I heard you saying I'm kind of middle of the road with
the governor.
And I maybe misunderstood you, but thank you for clarifying
absolutely.
That.
Yeah, I think I see where you're coming from, too, where I was talking about Mark Dayton, how he's kind of been middle on the road. But, yeah, I agree as well. The environmental impacts would be horrible if we were to get that poly mine built in northern Minnesota, not only in addition to the economic impacts as well, which also is important because northern Minnesota relies on tourism. That's a big part of their economy. And if you end up polluting the boundary waters, there goes that tourism industry in Minnesota, all for like 20 mining jobs. I think they really overstate how many jobs are actually going to come because of that mine. So, hey, thanks so much for the call. Susan, definitely appreciate that and glad we could clarify that as well, because I'm sure you're not the only one who may have thought that as well. Again, AM 950, election night on Tuesday. Make sure you go out and vote and watch our election night coverage coming up on Tuesday evening starting at 7 o'clock with Matt McNeil. He's going to be speaking with Jeff Stein and also Cliff Schechter. And then we're going to be hosting from 9 o'clock reporting all of those results. So make sure you tune in for that. You can watch it on Facebook as well. I have one more thing I want to play, Hunter. We're not going to have time to play the entire clip, but I found this kind of funny. And this is something that I like about the Dean Phillips campaign. He put together this video called Constituents in Trucks Getting Coffee, and he had his first guest, Amy Klobuchar. Let's go ahead and play part of this clip.
Welcome aboard, Senator Klobuchar.
Well, thank you, Dean.
We're going to have a little drive down memory lane.
Yeah, we're going down the memory All lane right. of my roots in Plymouth. Here's my house where I grew up.
Oh, right here?
That's it. Yeah, we got to stop.
Oh,
Let's
it.
Just say it was a little more 60s looking when I lived there.
Right,
yeah, that would be Murder Hill, right?
Why do they call it Murder
Hill? It's so steep. It doesn't look that steep now, but back then, that's where I babysat. At one time, I was about.
So that's just a brief clip of a new YouTube thing that Dean Phillips put out. I like the name of that, Constituents in Trucks Getting Coffee. And I think it really plays well to his campaign of trying to get people involved and, you know, showing a real personal side as well.
Fun fact. I've been to that house and had dinner with Jim Klobuchar and Amy Klobuchar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you've been to that very house. Very
yep.
cool as well. My final thought was, what would you call it if Eric Paulson were to do this? Would it be like lobbyists going to somewhere to do something? I can't think of anything off the top
lobbyists
of my head.
Lobbyists cash checks at the bank.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, my. AM 950, Brett and Hunter on your Friday afternoon.
Lowry Hill Meats.